Looking back, I can see your fingerprints upon my life. Always seeking my best. There were times when your way would make no sense, but as you said, you have never left. You are always good. You are only good. You are always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, help my heart believe. You are always only good. Looking in, I can see my frailty. My sin is great, and my strength is so small. Still you stay, and your mercy shelters me. You hold my hand, and you hear my call. You are always good. You are only good. You are always good to me. Help my heart believe you are always only good. Looking up, I can see your sympathy. I doubt myself, but I'm sure of your love. Lavish grace was poured out at Calvary, securing me for our home above. You are always good. You are only good. You are always good to me. Though my eyes can't see, help my heart believe you are always only good. You are always good.
For the good special, the singing tonight has been a blessing. And I always enjoy good singing. 1 John chapter number 2. Brother Nick has read in your hearing some scripture that I'd like to share with you tonight. Thought about it being Father's Day and thought about how that as believers there ought to be some growth, there ought to be some progression in our lives as believers. And I want to talk with you tonight out of the scripture about how you can grow. You know, the Bible, it commands us to grow. Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. We ought to grow. The Bible tells us to grow, and then it also tells us how to grow. And there's different levels in the Christian life. You know, we speak of the milk level. As newborn babes, we are the desire, the sincere milk of the Word. And then there's manna that we ought to feed on as we progress in our growing stage. There comes a time when we have to set down the bottle spiritually and we pick up the manna. We begin to feed on something a little more rich than just a liquid diet. And then there comes a time where we go from milk to manna and then meat. Now that doesn't say that we never use manna or milk again. It's good to do those things, but we ought to be able to have a meat diet as a believer, as a Christian that is growing in grace. and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches in the book of Hebrews, it says that those that are mature in the faith, it speaks about having our senses exercised. We ought to have a sense of maturity to where we can grow and we can accept scriptural truths and scriptural responsibilities that God has for us. Well, how are we to do that? Well, here in this section in 1 John chapter number 2, I believe John is addressing the believers here, and he addresses them on three levels. And I want you to look at them with me again tonight, and then we'll go a little deeper into what each one of them are. First of all, there's the little children. Okay, the little born ones. And I believe this is speaking of just small children. Now, this is speaking spiritually. Okay, John is writing to these folks on a spiritual level. And he said, you know, I want to say some things to those of you that are little born ones. You've just been born, okay? You haven't really learned to do some things on your own. You're still relying on other people to help you, to spoon feed you spiritually. He said, I got some things I want to talk to you about. And so he spoke to them. He mentioned them in verse number 12, if you'll notice. He also mentions them at the end of verse number 13. He said, again, I write unto you little children. You see that? And then he speaks to the young men. Now, this is, these are those with a little vigor, right? A little fight. And he said, I'm speaking to you, young men, in verse number 13, because you have overcome the wicked one. He addressed them again down in verse number 14. He said, I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong, you see. And so he talked about that spiritual group of people that are beginning to grow and become nourished and strong and understand what it is to walk with God and to have victory and not just be blown about with every wind of doctrine and not be inconsistent, but have some consistency. Some strength. You see what he said there in verse number 14? He said, I have written unto you, young men, because you're strong, you see. You have some strength about you. You have some wherewithal. You're not just easily set to the side. You stand. You fight. You overcome. And then he mentions a third group, and that is the father. And today being Father's Day, I thought, well, I'll use that and talk about, are you a father? Are you a father? You say, well, I sure am. I have one child, or I have two children, or I have four children. How many spiritual children do you have? See, how many people have you won to Christ? How many people are you fathering in the faith? Because that's what this scripture is referring to. Fathers in the faith. Men, and even women. Fathers in the faith that have that spiritual maturity, that they are making a difference. They are mentoring people. They are working with people and they are winning them, and then they are working with them to where they're going out and they're winning people. They're reproducing themselves. See, that's what fathers do. Fathers reproduce. And he said, when you get to this place, you understand the importance of spiritual reproduction. You understand that that's the goal, that's the aim. To get people saved, to get people in the family. And you have a role in that. And so he said, there's a progression that you ought to be going through. Where are you at in this progression? You say, well, I'm a young one. And some of you are. You've just gotten saved. And you're a young Christian. You're a child in the faith. But you don't stay there, you see. That's where you get in, but that's not where it ends. You grow, and I'm going to talk with you about that. And then there's that young man stage. That young man stage where there's strength and there's vigor and you're a worker in the church and you're there, you know, put me to work, preacher. I want to do something for the Lord, and you're ready to go, right? Ready to serve God and with vigor and strength. And then there's the fathers of the faith. And we need all three levels. We need all three of these levels. A church, if they're going to have balance, needs every one of these three spiritual levels. And so let's talk about them, okay? Let's see if you can find yourself here and what it means to you. Number one, we see the possession of spiritual life. The possession of spiritual life. He's speaking to the little children. He's speaking to them, you're little born ones. You've been saved. You've been saved. You're a child of God. Are you? Are you a child of God? You need to ask yourself that question. Well, I'm at church, aren't I? That doesn't mean you're a child of God. That doesn't mean you're a child of God. I'm glad you're at church. But the question is, have you ever been saved? Do you know Jesus? Are you one of His children? Are you one of His children? Can you go to a time, a place, an occasion, an occurrence where you repented of your sin and you asked Christ to become your Savior? And as a direct result of that, your life has changed, you see. Your life has changed. You're different. Why? Because when people get saved, they become a new creature, the Bible says. New creature. The old things are passed away. Now, listen, I understand. It's a process. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. But it does happen. Say amen with me now. It does happen. So, well, I've been saved for 20 years, no change. You better check up. Something not right. Now, that's not just preacher talking. That's the Word of God speaking. Better check up. People get saved, they become different. They're a new creature. New creature. You're still dabbling in that same stuff. Listen, you have no desire for the things of God. Something wrong somewhere. I can't tell you exactly what it is. I can only tell you something's not right according to the Word of God. So let's look what he said here. Number one, he said a little child, one of these little infant ones, one of these little babes in Christ, he said, this is the first thing in verse number 12. He said, there's something you'll realize when you get saved. Now, don't you miss this now. Every person that's ever been saved has a realization of what I'm getting ready to point out to you from the Word of God. Look at verse number 12. I write unto you, little children, watch it now, because your sins are forgiven for His name's sake. You see, when you get saved, there's a realization in your soul, my sins are forgiven. Remember the day? Amen. Remember the day that God saved you? I mean, it was a realization that your sins are gone. I was talking about that song this morning. You asked me why I'm happy. Well, I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Remember that day when you got saved? Maybe it was 5 years ago. Maybe 15, maybe 20, maybe 80. Amen. Or, you know, years ago. Depending on when you got saved, you'll never forget that your sins are forgiven. Now notice what the Bible says. Your sins are not forgiven because you deserved it. Your sins are not forgiven because you earned it. Your sins are forgiven, according to verse number 12, for His name's sake. Because Christ did a work. And because of the finished work of Calvary, because of the finished work of Jesus, your sins are forgiven. What a day, amen. What a day in my life. We used to sing that song, and I was just looking at it when I was sitting up here earlier tonight, this evening. Redeemed. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Amen. Listen, I've never been sorry that I got saved. Never. I've never been sorry. Now, I've been sorry for some things in my life, but I've never been sorry that I became a Christian. Never. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed. Amen. What a wonderful, wonderful song. There's one of my favorites that when we got saved, Sharon and I got saved the same night. Started attending church, and one of the first songs we learned, we sang as a congregation, the name of the song was Saved, Saved. What a wonderful song. I'm going to have to look at it. Because I don't want to mess it up. I don't mess this up. It's good stuff. If you want to follow along with me, I'm not going to sing it, so don't get nervous. Some of you looking like we're in for some situations here. 247. I found a friend who is all to me. I'm talking about little children. All right, when you first get saved, when you realize my sins are forgiven, I found a friend who is all to me. His love is ever true. I love to tell how He lifted me and what His grace can do for you. Saved by His power divine. Saved to new life divine. Life is now sweet and my joy is complete. For I'm saved, saved, saved. Remember when you got saved? Amen. Remember when you could go around whistling at church or at work or in the home at Calvary? Years I spent in vanity and pride. Caring not my Lord was crucified. Amen. Knowing not it was for me He died at Calvary. Amen. At Calvary. Amen. Remember those days? Listen, you say, I still do it, preacher. Well, you ought to. But I'm talking about the freshness of it. When you was a little child, a little born one, a newborn babe in Christ, you realize my sins are forgiven. People look at Christians, they say, what's the big deal? What's all the excitement about? I tell you what the excitement's about. Our sins are forgiven. That's what the excitement's about. Amen? We don't bear the burden of our sin anymore. The penalty of our sin, we don't bear that anymore. And so that's, he said, you know that your sin has been forgiven. One of my favorite songs, and I'm having a mind blank here. You pray for me. One of my favorite songs is about God forgiving us of our sin. I'm going to get to it here in a minute. It's one that says, love lifted me. Love lifted me. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But, you see, amen, the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. You remember those days, brethren? Remember? You see, we should never get over those days. Now, you can't live in those times. You've got to grow. You've got to go on to maturity, the Bible speaks. But it's good to visit those times. It's good to remember and always know your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. So he said, number one, he said, you ought to know that your sins have been forgiven. And when you get saved, you'll know that. You'll know my sin. Oh, Steve, here, I love your testimony, Steve. Steve talks about when he got saved, he says, just like a load of blocks, like just a load of bricks just lifted off my shoulders. That's what happens. God delivers. God delivers through salvation. Now, there's something else he mentions is these little children. You see it there in verse number 12. He said, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for his name's sake. And then if you'll drop down to the latter part of verse number 13, he says, I write unto you, little children, because you have known, now watch this, the Father. So he said, not only do you realize you're forgiven, but you realize you have a Father. Now, when I first got saved, and maybe many of you are this way, I don't know. I didn't know anything about God. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I was not brought up in church. I never sat in Sunday school and learned the stories of David and Goliath and Jonah and the whale. Some of the stories that these little children learn. What a privilege it is to have a church that you can bring your children to and they're going to be taught the Bible. That's a privilege. You ought to praise God for that. I believe many of you do. I hope all of you do. And some of us were not that privileged. See, we didn't go to church when we were younger. We wasn't taken to church or we didn't go to church. And so we missed out on a lot. Now, here, he said, when you got saved, watch what he said here. He said, when you got saved as a little child, you realized that God was your Father. Now I didn't know much about God when I got saved. I didn't know about, you know, we use terms, and we're going to talk about this here in just a moment. We use terms about God. See, God has attributes. I've learned some things about my God since I've been saved. Amen. Hey, I'm excited about being a Christian. Now, some folks, you talk to them, they're not very excited about being a Christian. I don't understand that. I'm excited about being a Christian. I want to know, listen, I just keep digging. I want to know more and more about this God that saved me. I want to know more and more about him. He is something. Now, when I got saved, about the only thing I knew about God is that he was my Father. I was told that. You know, God is the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and now that you're saved, he's your Father too. And I said, well, hey, that's good enough for me. Amen. I'll accept it. Amen. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, as a little child, you need to understand that God the Father will protect you, and God the Father will provide for you. Amen. God will be your spiritual Father. Now, I didn't know, listen, I heard people throwing around terms like omnipresent. And I thought, that sounds like another language to me. Omniscient, right? Omnipotent, the self-existing one, the eternality of God. They were throwing around these terms, and I was thinking, wow, what are that? That's all that God is, and then some. And then some, you see. But all I understood is, like that blind man who said, you know, listen, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. I just know whereas I was blind, now I see. Amen. I mean, I couldn't explain to you all these things about God and the attributes of God and all of these things about this great big God that reached down into my world and saved me. I couldn't tell you all that, but I could tell you my sins were forgiven. Amen. And that God was my Father. And that's what he's saying here. He's saying, listen, when you get saved, he said, those are two things that you'll know. You'll know your sins are forgiven, and that the Heavenly Father is your Father. Now, I want to turn to some scriptures, it being Father's Day. I want you to hold your place. We're going to come back here. But I want you to notice what the Bible says here about God in Psalm. Turn to Psalm 27. This is one of my favorite verses of scripture. Now, somebody's going to say, well, the preacher wants us to feel sorry for it. No, the preacher doesn't want you to feel sorry for it. God's been far better to me than I deserve. I said this morning, and I didn't say it, and God knows my heart. Now, I believe my dad, there's a possibility my dad got saved before he died. There's that possibility. My brother, my oldest brother, Brandon's dad, Wayne, and I went to see my dad. I hadn't seen my dad. I saw my dad twice in my life alive, okay? One time was a three-year-old boy, and he got drunk when he had visitation rights, and my mom stopped us from seeing him again. I don't know that he wanted to ever, but I just know we didn't see him anymore. I do remember that occasion. I was 3 or 4 years old, and it was just, I remember chaos and a lot of just bad stuff. Something good didn't go on. But I know I didn't see my dad after that until I was 13 years of age. When I was 13, my uncle called my older brother Wayne, and he said, hey, she said, I'm going to go down and see your dad. He said, do you and Dale want to ride with us? Ride with me. And so my mom said, you know, you ought to go see your dad. You ain't seen your dad. And I said, okay. So we rode to Georgia. And he was in a place down in Georgia called Victory Homes. I don't know anything about it. Supposedly a Christian home. Maybe, may not be. I don't know. All right. So we get there, and there's this man, and he's sitting there, and he looks up, and he comes over, and he hugs my uncle. And then he looks at my brother, and he says, Wayne. And he hugs his neck, said, boy, you know, miss you. And then he looked at me, and he said, who's your friend? And boy, I tell you, that done something to me. Made me bitter. Now, thank God, God forgives bitterness. See, I had to set him free, but I had to set myself free first. Now, why am I telling you that? Because when I got saved, God done something for me. I want you to listen to me. I was all mixed up. Bad. In my mind, in my heart, mixed up. Mixed up. But God set it straight. God set it straight. I'm telling you now, God can do that. My mind was so filled with hatred and malice and bitterness and drugs. I was like a stumbling, stuttering, bumbling idiot. You know what God did for me? Clean me up. Set me free. Listen, I'm excited. That's why I'm excited about being a Christian. I don't understand folks that can just say, oh, well, you know, I'm saved. Hey, listen, if you're saved, you ought to be dancing around praising God. Hey, man, you ought to just be praising the name of Jesus. Your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. You carry that old bitterness and that old guile and malice and envy and jealousy and just rots in your soul until Jesus sets you free. Amen. Hey, man. Amen. Washes you. Washes you. I hope you know what I'm talking about tonight, because it's real. It's real. And it's available. There's a lot of Christians, saved people, listen to me now, walking around with all of that stuff, that baggage, just drug it over into the old life, into this life. And you just drug it over, and all those negative and all those corrupt feelings and attitudes are with you now. You need to listen. You need to get that under the blood. Listen to me. Get it under the blood. God wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. I claimed as my verse, Psalm 27, verse number 10. I'd like for you to look at that with me. In Psalm 27 and verse number 10, the Bible says this. Psalm 27, verse 10, David said, he said, when my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Amen. I'm here to tell you it's real, too. It's real. God's been real to me. God been real to you? Amen. God been real to you? I mean real. I'm not talking about just an emotion or just something that people pump and pry. I mean something that's real. God's presence is real in your life. God just, the visitation of God settles down on you when you're in your secret place or when you're alone with God, and God manifests himself to you. It's real. It's real. There's another verse. Turn to Psalm, if you would. Psalm 66. Would you turn there? Psalm 68. I'm sorry. Psalm 68. Here's another verse that I hope you'll claim. Why? Because you're a little child. And some of you here tonight, you've been wrong. And you're hurt. And you've been holding on to it, and you need to let it go. All right? You need to get it under the blood. Because the devil's using that to lock you up in a prison. The prison of malice. The prison of bitterness. The prison of hatred. And it'll destroy you now. Listen, it'll destroy you if you don't get rid of that. You'll never be able to go to a young man that's strong in your spiritual experience. You'll always stay a little babe. You'll always be blaming mom or dad or uncle so-and-so or the preacher or this person or that person. And you'll just stay a young babe. You'll stay a little kid in the faith all your life. And your potential will never be reached because you let the devil use those things to stop you. Please don't do that. God wants to unlock things in your life, a potential that God has locked in you, and do great and mighty things through your life. I believe that with all of my heart. And yet one little occasion, one little incident in life can stifle all of that out if you let it. But you have a choice. You don't have to let it. You don't have to let it. Please listen to me. Somebody get some help tonight. I believe with all of my heart there's someone here that's struggling. And you won't let go. And it's hindering you. It's hindering you. Look, if you would, in Psalm 68. Look in verse number 5. Jehovah, God, wants to be a father to the fatherless and a judge of the widows. He's God in His holy habitation. You see, God wants to be your father, little children. Little children, God wants to be your father. God wants to protect and provide. Turn one more scripture in Psalm 103. This is probably a more familiar one. Psalm 103. I'm glad for this verse of scripture. When we memorized Psalm 103 a while back, this just brought back to my remembrance when I had memorized this before, and it just blessed my heart. It's just a blessing. You see, there's things in life that can hurt us and scar us. And if we're not careful, we'll hold on to that baggage and we'll think, we'll become familiar and almost get used to the abnormality of life because of these attitudes that we have and this baggage that we're carrying, not realizing what we're missing out on. That liberty that comes from being set free. Notice, if you would, Psalm 103. Look at verse 13. He's talking about forgiveness of our sin and our iniquity in verse number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father, Psalm 103 verse 13, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. So He said, little children, let me work in your life. Remember, your sins are forgiven. Let's go back now to 1 John. Remember, your sins are forgiven. You remember you're forgiven. And then you remember God's your Father. He wants to take care of you. God will protect you. God will provide for you. And when I first got saved, that's all I knew. But can I tell you, that was good enough for me. That was good enough for me. But we ought to grow and we ought to move on, right? We ought to grow and move on. But the only way we're going to do that now is to allow the cleansing work of the blood of Jesus and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to work these things in our lives out and allow us and bring us to a place where we'll humbly fall before the Lord and say, God, I don't want this bitterness in my life. I don't want this hatred in my life. Hatred is a terrible thing, brethren. And there's people in our churches, listen to me now, there's people in our churches, their hearts are full of hatred, darkness. They come and they sit in church and they sing the songs and they listen to the preaching. They go through the motions and then they go and they have a miserable existence. And the devil's just, listen, the devil's just constantly like a taskmaster whoop, on their back, driving them like a slave. Why? Because of that, those sins of the attitude, of the mind, of the heart that they haven't been able to ask God to set them free from. I pray tonight somebody will be set free. Set free, so you'll understand what it is to have that victory in Jesus, that liberty in Christ. Number two, not only is there a possession of spiritual life, we know our sins have been forgiven, and we know that God now is our Father, but then there's that second That second step, the progression. Look in verse number 13, where he says this, right in the middle of that verse. He said, I write unto you, young men. Young men. Now, who is this? Well, these are those young men, these are those that have grown beyond that infancy stage. They're not fathers yet. They're growing. And I look around Fellowship Baptist Church and I see some folks growing, don't you? I see some growing Christians. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, every church needs the cries of newborn babes. May not be pleasant, but I got to tell you, it's music to the spiritual ear. Right? It is. Now, babes demand a lot of your time. And they can cause a lot of things that you have to work with them and be on top of it. But every church needs the cries of newborn babes. But every church also needs to see those babes progressing and growing. And you have a responsibility to do that, to go to this next level. What is a young man? Well, the first thing, watch what the scripture says here in chapter number 2, verse 13. There's a requirement. What is that requirement for spiritual growth? He said, you have to overcome the wicked one. You see, all those things that the devil wants to use to keep you down, to keep you from growing, you've got to learn what it is to overcome. Now, how are you going to do that? Well, let's see. How are you going to overcome? How are you going to get from that young babe, that little children, to a young man in the faith now? Grow. How am I going to do that, preacher? Well, I think you're doing one thing tonight. You're coming and putting yourself under the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. That's a good thing to do. I was talking to a young man this morning, a co-worker of some of the men who work here. And I was talking with him and I was telling him, you're in a good place this morning. And you need to find yourself to the house of God on a regular basis so you can get a regular dosage of the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Now, some folks think, well, I'll go about once every other week and I'll be okay. No, you won't either. No, you won't. I don't know any strong Christians that way. Now, if you do, you talk with me after the service. I'm just telling you what I know. I don't know any strong Christians that way. I don't know any strong Christians that don't read their Bible regularly. Listen to me now. People who will not read their Bible consistently and regularly, I don't know them that's strong Christians. Now, I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying I don't know them if they are. Don't know how you could be. All right? People who don't pray. Now notice what he said here, verse number 13. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. Look down, if you would, in verse number 14. He said, I write unto you, I have written unto you, young men, because you are strong, now watch it now, and the word of God abideth in you. Now there it is. You're going to overcome the wicked one? You better get the word of God in you. You say, I'll fight him, preacher, I'll fight him. You're going to lose every time. You're going to lose every time. Well, I know some tactics. I know some poems. Those poems are not going to affect the devil. You better know some scripture. When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness three times, he said, it is written. You better hide God's word in your heart. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandment. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. That's the way you're going to have victory. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. There it is right there. Day and night. Got to stay in this book if you're going to have victory. Got to stay in this book if you're going to overcome the wicked one. Got to stay in the book now if you're going to win some battles, if you're going to grow and progress in your Christian experience. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 1:1, he said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight, watch it now, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Is that where your delight is? If it is, you just might be one of these young men. You might be right there full of vigor and strength, ready to fight, ready to do battle. Somebody's got to get on the front line, brethren. Somebody's got to fight the good fight of faith. Amen.
Somebody's got to stand in this evil day in which we live. The only way we're going to do that is on the authority of the Word of God. Psalm 12, verse number 6, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. This book right here will give you victory. Listen to me now. It'll do it. So, well, I'm going to get some counsel. Well, I believe everybody ought to have counselors. The Bible says that in many counselors there's wisdom, there's safety, and matters are established. But there's something that will far exceed any counsel you can get. That's you spending time in this book right here. Spend time in the Word, brethren, please. This is where it's at. The devil, listen, I don't think I'm any different than you. Now, you probably do. You probably think I'm crazy and you're not. But that's all right. All crazy people think everybody else is. The devil fights me just like he does you. I'll get up in the morning just like you. And I have intentions on reading this book in the morning. Why? That's my routine. The devil's going to fight that. Been fighting it all these years, and he's not going to give up in the morning. He's going to come by your way too, right? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. You're going to pray in the morning, but the devil's going to try to get you not to. Why? He doesn't want you growing. He doesn't want you to arm yourself with the resources that God has given. This is it right here, brethren. This is it right here. This is the sword of the Spirit. This is the Word of God. It's quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 says, it is the Word of God, not of men, that effectually worketh in all of you. This book right here changes lives. It changes lives. It gives victory. It gives victory. It helps us to grow. All right? So the first thing, that's the requirement now. I got to get in the book. Please set aside a time, would you? You say, preacher, I've been fighting with that for so long. I'm about weary. I'm about ready to give up. Please don't give up. We need all the soldiers we can get. Are you listening to me? We need all the soldiers. Listen, the Christian church, the body of Christ, we need all the soldiers that will suit up. Suit up. Fight the good fight of faith. Stand firm in this day. Go to that young man status. Some of you have been needing to take this step for some time. You've been a little babe long enough. It's time to step up and be a young lady that's going to accept some responsibility and be accountable to God and someone else and say, I am going to be a servant of Jesus Christ. How are you going to do that? Well, look at it now. Look at it one more time in verse number 14. He said, I have written unto you young men. That's that level of spirituality where there's vigor and there's some growth and there's some understanding of who you are, but not only who you are, whose you are. He said this, because you are strong and the Word of God abideth in you. Oh, I pray, listen, the Word of God would dwell in you richly. I pray that God would put a hunger in our soul to where we would desire His Word more than our necessary food. Where, listen, we used to have a saying, I'm so glad that I was brought up under men of God who taught me no Bible, no breakfast. Sharon and I had a Sunday school teacher. He was a major in I think it was the Air Force, I'm uncertain. Major Brooks was his name. Where's Jonathan? Major Brooks. And this guy was just, I mean, he was cut out of the stuff now. He was one of these guys, that, I mean, he was a no-nonsense. He was our Sunday school teacher after we got saved. I thank God for him. I mean, man, he shot straight with me. You don't, no Bible, no breakfast. You don't read your Bible, don't eat. You'll start reading your Bible for long. Amen. You will. Why? Because you need to understand as much as you need your physical food, you need your spiritual food more. You may not realize that as a little child, but as you begin to grow, you want to make it to that young man status, you'll realize, I need my Bible more than I need my breakfast. And if I'm going to skip one, it's going to be my breakfast. Say amen with me. When you get there, you're a young man now in the faith. You're a young man. But you don't have to skip either one. Just got to get up a little early. And that's another message. So, here we have it. Little children. Little born ones. But you're going to grow. Now you're a young man in the faith. The devil's going to try to beat you down. He's going to come at you. He's going to throw it all at you. He's got some heavy artillery, but that's all right. You've got the whole armor of God. the Spirit of God. And greater is He that's within you than he that's within the world. You can win the victory. The victory's already been won, actually. You can just have it. You can. But you got to claim it in Jesus' name. You have to suit up. You got to fight now. Don't give up without a fight. Be tough, spiritually. Be spiritually tough. Well, somebody didn't shake my hand. Get tougher. Well, somebody didn't speak to me. Get tougher. Well, they passed me over and I wanted to sing or I wanted to teach. Well, get stronger. Get tougher. Make up your mind, I'm going to serve God regardless of what other people do. I'm going to serve the Lord with my life. Now, that is no excuse for anyone to misuse or to mistreat anybody. I believe you ought to be fair. As a Christian, you ought to love the brethren and you ought to do right by them. But not everyone's going to follow that, brethren, and you know that. Not everyone's going to follow that. So you be prepared for that. Somebody's going to do you wrong. Somebody's going to bypass you. Somebody is going to hurt you. But don't you let that stop you from serving God. Don't you come to church and sit there and say, well, I'm not going to enjoy this worship service because there's something going on in here that I don't like. You're only hurting yourself. The devil is setting you up. Now please hear what I'm saying. Learn what it is to keep your focus on your spiritual development. And God will help you win some victories in your life. And some of you need to win some victories. You've taken some defeats. You've taken some pretty heavy blows. I read the story several years ago, and I don't remember exactly how it went. I know it went something like this. The boxer that kept going in the ring, and the guy was just beating the tar out of him. You know what that is. That's what down south, that just means you're getting whipped. And I mean, just, you know, and he went, the bell would ring, he'd barely make it to his corner. And his trainer was saying, man, he said, you're going to have to duck something. I mean, he's hitting you with that. He said, he ain't laid a glove on me yet. He said, the glove, nothing. You're swollen, your eyes are shut. This happened for about 3 or 4 rounds. And the guy kept saying, hadn't laid a glove on me yet. See, some folks fight that way. The devil would think, well, I'm okay. You're getting beat. Listen, you're getting tossed around and beat up on. Fight back. Quote Scripture. Quote Scripture. Sing songs. You get in your car and the devil wants to get you to turn on that ungodly music, just start singing, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. The devil gets on, you start fighting. Fight. Don't give up without a fight. Right? God's equipped us. Young men. Now, last thing. He said, young children. He said, you can know. It's a possession of spiritual life. You're saved. Your sins are forgiven, number one, and you know God is your Father. Number two, the progression. There's a requirement for spiritual growth, and there's a result. You can have victory. You can have victory. You can overcome. Look what he said there in verse number 13. He said, because I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. You can overcome him. You can overcome the wicked one. Now, I'm not talking about once and for all. You overcome him today, he'll be back tomorrow. He might be back for the end of the day. Right? But you don't quit, you see. You stay equipped. You stay prepared mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically. You have to understand this. All right, now let's get this last one, the Father. And this should be all of our goals. All right, there's two things that I want you to notice about the Father here. The fathers of the spiritual faith. He mentions them in verse number 13. He said, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Now, I find that interesting because when he talked to the children, he said this. He said, I'm writing unto you, children, because you have known, the latter part of verse number 13, he said, because you've known the Father. But when he's speaking to the fathers, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, because you've known the Father. You've learned that he's more than just your father. You see what John is doing here? You see what the Holy Spirit's trying to help us to understand? There comes a time when you have to understand that the person that saved you, that the God that came into your life is more than just your father. Remember last week when we talked about those five words? He made the stars also. That's him. That's him that's from the beginning. That's what John's saying. You've got to know some things about it. You get to the father status. Listen, you get to this place in your spiritual life, and your faith will be strong. You'll just believe there's nothing my God cannot do. You listening? That's where you want to be in your spiritual life. That's where you want to be in your spiritual progression. My God can do anything. That's what he's saying here. Verse number 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. He that spoke it all. You know that your God made everything. And your God can do anything. That's where you want to get in your spiritual life. Right? That's where we all want to be. You want to get to that place to where you know that your God is God and there's none beside him. These other little puny gods, and listen, I feel sorry for those people. So don't you think I'm standing up here, and I think most of you know me better than that. I am not making light of these people that are enslaved to religion and idolatry. I'm not making light of them. I feel sorry for them. Their little puny gods are deaf and dumb. They have done nothing, and they can do nothing. But our God, he's from the beginning. And when you make it to the Father status, you can know there is nothing that my God can't do. Well, we need X amount of money to purchase property. God can provide that. Amen? Well, we need a miracle. We need something to happen in my child's life because my child is very, very sick. And if something doesn't happen, then my child is not going to be here long. God can handle that. You see? Been there. Had my son, Michael, listen, stood there when Sharon and I handed our son, 1 year old, over to the doctor, and they said, we're going to take his heart out of his body and we're going to sew up his heart that was no bigger than his hand. We're going to sew up a chamber in his heart. We're going to do the best we can do. You know what I told them? God is going to take care of this. God is. They looked at me like I was crazy. They didn't look at me like I was crazy when it was over. See, God can take care of it. What do you need? What do you need? Are you there yet? Do you really believe it? I'm not talking about talking it. I'm talking about living it. Do you believe? Have you made it to the Father status where you say, you know what? Whatever I need, God is the answer. There's nothing God can't do. And I'm not saying that everything's going to work out like a fairy tale. Sometimes God allows hardships. That doesn't mean God is angry at me. That means God is testing me. That means God is stretching my faith. God is asking me, son, you going to trust me? God, I'll trust you in the calm. Will you trust me in the storm? God, I'll trust you when there's plenty. Will you trust me when there's not? I'll trust you when the sun's shining. Will you trust me when it's not? See, sometimes God allows things to stretch our faith to see where we are in our spiritual experience. So he said, I write unto you, fathers, verse number 13, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Are you there yet? Do you know him? Can you say with Abraham, there's nothing too hard for the Lord. Nothing. One final thing, and we close tonight. Talking to you about the father status. This is our goal, brethren. Where are you? Have you found yourself here? Are you still there where you realize, yes, I realize my sin's forgiven? And I realize that God's my Father. That's great. That's great. But now don't stay there. Don't camp there. Enjoy that time. Amen. It's a wonderful time. Enjoy it. But you're going to have to grow. Get to that young man stage. Listen, there's battles to be fought. There's victories to be won. There's the wicked one to be overcome. If God's going to develop you and you're going to reach your full potential and your purpose that God has for you in life. Do you see what's happening here? Some folks just get saved and they think, well, this is it. You know? And they stay there for 20, 30, 40 years. That's never meant to be. There always should be growth and progression in our spiritual experience. Now, last thing, and this is the second one on the Father. Look, if you would, in verse number 13. I'm sorry, I said verse 13, but verse number 14. I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. Now, he said it again. He said in verse 13, he said, I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. And now he says in verse number 14, I have written unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. What's he saying? You ought to know what the mind of God is now. The plan of God. You've been at this long enough, you ought to know why you're here. So I'm here to get all I can and count all I can get. I'm here to have a big time. That's not why God put you here. That's not why God saved us and left us here, brother. And we begin to grow, and we get to the status of a father in our Christian experience. We understand full well why God left us here. What is it? Reproduce ourselves. He called them fathers. Fathers reproduce themselves. Fathers bring life. Right? Through the seed. And the seed is the Word of God. God wants us to get concerned about souls. You say, preacher, I don't know if I'm a father or not. Let me ask you a question. How concerned about souls are you? Really? You say, well, I hate that there's a lot of people dying and going to hell. Well, that's a start. But that's not where it ends. You've got to do something about that. And you can. And I can. We can. But now just caring and talking about it, that's not going to get anybody saved. We've got to, listen, we've got to put some action and we've got to put some work behind our care and our thoughts and our prayers, right? Fathers. Fathers. What else does a father do? Well, he reproduces himself. Are you there yet? Are you winning people? Let me ask you this question. You say, oh, are you trying to make me feel guilty? No, I'm not. I'm trying to help you find yourself. Are you a young little child? Are you a little child? And you say, you know, I'm glad I'm saved. My sins are forgiven and God's my Father. That's where you are. If that's where you are, then that's where you are. And now remember, God wants you to grow. The next stage, young men. Stripling young men. Strong, he said. You're strong, right? Strong. The Word of God abideth in you. You've overcome the wicked one. You take God's Word serious. You're on the front line. You're fighting. You're winning victories. You're growing. You're making a difference. But then the Father. The Father. You're winning people. You're seeing people say, now I know, listen, when I said a father reproduces himself, I didn't mean spiritually. I understand that happens physically. But God wants you to be involved in that act spiritually. The seed of God, the incorruptible seed of God, is what births a person into the kingdom. 1 Peter 1:23. Listen, I understand that. But what is your role in it? If you're a father, you're going to be involved in that. If you're a father, you're going to be involved in getting people to Jesus, getting people into the family. And then secondly, you're going to be involved in nurturing them and helping them to grow and mature. It's not enough just to see somebody saved. Thank God for that. Don't misunderstand me. A person gets saved, they're not going to hell. But what about their life here? Don't we care about that anymore? Don't we care that they reach their fullest potential, they grow, and they reach the purpose that God has for them in this life? That's called discipleship. You've got to help them grow and get involved in their life. And so, are you a father? Well, that's the message God laid on my heart. Where are you? Where are you? See, I can't tell you where you are. I don't know. Now, a lot of it just shows in our walk, doesn't it? It does. A lot of it's pretty much spelled out by the desires that we have and the things that we do, the way we conduct our business and our lives. Someone has said many years ago, if you really want to find out where your heart's at, just review your checkbook. Right? Because Jesus said, where your heart is, there will your treasure be. Or where your treasure is, there will your heart be. What you're investing in, your time, your energy, your resources, your means, that's really what you care about. So let's stand, all right? I hope this will help you. I really do. I'm convinced that Fellowship Baptist Church is growing. And it's obvious to see it's growing numerically. That's the obvious part. Listen, that's what you can see. You see that when the chairs are brought out, right? Chairs are brought out, and we're starting to discuss now, what are we going to do to house this growth? And it's a great problem to have, all right? We're going to be making some changes in the orchestra and bringing the winds and the violin up here. We'll have a little something different for the guitars, and we'll do something a little different with that. But we're going to open this up for seating capacity and just have a small little orchestra here. I'm going to ask some people to start sitting in the choir. You see, this we have to make some moves to accommodate for growth and to make room for people so they can come in and sit under the teaching and the preaching of God's Word. The growth at Fellowship Baptist Church numerically is just obvious. It's obvious. Look around you. I mean, on a Sunday night, this speaks to you. This speaks to your spiritual growth, not me. This is not about me. I need to keep growing. I want to still be growing in the Lord. But look around you. Church, good and healthy on a Sunday night. That's a good thing. But we don't want to just focus and hone in on numerical growth only, right? Spiritual growth. Because that's where the richness is. If all the church is doing is growing numerically, it's going to cave one day. Hear me now. Because there's going to be no foundation. You've got to grow spiritually. And that's us. That's us. So we've got to keep growing. Where are you? Let's bow our heads together. Where are you this evening? Where are you? Are you a little child? A little infant? What's it take to rock you? What's it take to shake your faith? To shake you? To move you? I pray that you would go to another level. What's it take for you to stay home during a church service? A ball game? I'm not opposed to a ball game. I love a good ball game. But there's just some things that we've got to learn to prioritize. Little children, they don't understand priority. But as you get up into that young man age, you begin to understand priority. What matters? What really matters? God begins to teach us to prioritize and to put emphasis on some things, right? And then you may be in that father status where you say, preacher, I'm really genuinely concerned about souls, and I pray for people, and I try to invest in people's lives. God bless you.